Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We think about China today. We think about it primarily, I think, in the West in terms of communism, the Cultural Revolution. We think about a gigantic population. We think about an industrial powerhouse and an economic potential that actually scares a lot of people in the Western world. We think about opportunity over there, lots of opportunity, evangelistic opportunity as well as economic opportunity. Now, Christianity is thriving in communist China. It's doing so, well, at about 5% of the population. And given the size of the population, that's a lot of Christians. We're talking 70 million of them. What does the influence of Christianity, what, if any, influence does it have on China's economy? Joining us to answer that question on this Thursday afternoon, January the 15th, Dr. Brian Grimm. He is president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, and he's author of a recent column for First Things titled, What Christianity Contributes to China's Economic Rise. Dr. Grimm, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you, Todd.
After the Cultural Revolution, I don't think most, at least Westerners, think about China as a particularly religious society. How would you correct that idea?
Well, during the Cultural Revolution, all religion was shut down. Since then, we've seen really a flourishing of faith. Today, for instance, Christians number well in the tens of thousands, and they're the seventh largest Christian population in the world today in terms of numbers. Also, there's been a growth of Buddhism. There's large Muslim population. Also, many folk religions are flourishing in China. So really, China has become what we can consider the second largest religious population in the world, second only to India.
How would you describe the changes that have taken place in the last 50 years or so in China's economy, especially in the last 30 years with respect to its rising economy?
Well, I first started working in China in 1982, so more than 30 years ago. And at that time, people were literally dirt poor. To have even an electric fan in your house in a hot climate was considered luxury. Today, you can see luxury cars driving down every street in China. Not everyone's become rich, but really they've moved at least half of the population from dire poverty into having a sustainable life. So this has been a tremendous change, and it's really come about because they've opened to market mechanisms and allowed free enterprise within the boundaries of the Chinese system.
Generally speaking, as a religious landscape, how would you describe the religious makeup of China? What's the spectrum that we see there?
Well, the largest faith in China today is folk religion, or Chinese folk religions. These are local practices, temples or shrines in a local area. That's widespread. Maybe one out of every five Chinese people practices folk religion, and even at a small level, more than half of the population practices some sort of folk religion. The second largest would be Buddhists. They make up about 18% of the population. And the third are Christians, which make up perhaps 5% or more of the population, and it's a growing portion. Then Muslims constitute 2% of the population, and many of them are in the West, though they are scattered throughout the country.
Why can we, if not isolate, why can we at least identify Christianity and its cultural influence as a contributor to China's rising economy?
Well, this has been a surprising finding for many, but it does make sense. One of the findings from research by economists in China is that the presence of Christian congregations in particular is associated with economic development. And there have been studies showing where you have a congregational model that tends to attract not only direct economic activity through building a building and hiring staff and caring for people in the neighborhood, but many indirect ways of providing services that the government doesn't have to, and also producing a network of people who can then use those networks to grow businesses. And so I think that's been the, you know, one thing the researchers looked at. But the other was the moral ethic of Christianity, where it's looking to be honorable in what in your dealings. And this isn't a teaching isolated only to Christ and the Golden Rule, but even in the Confucian teachings there and Buddhist teachings, there's ideas of if not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There is the teaching, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you, which is the silver rule. So it's, you know, very, it's closely but not quite as far as Christianity. But, so rather than Christianity being at odds with the philosophy within China and its traditional religious milieu, Christianity actually fits in to that ethnic and, ethical framework.
So as the population, the Christian population, continues to grow, what other, what shall we say, kind of side benefits do you see not only to China's economy, but perhaps to the society in general, especially in terms of perhaps civil freedoms, perhaps even religious freedom, which is deeply rooted in a Christian worldview?
Well, Chinese Christians, like most Chinese, are patriotic. You know, they're loyal to their country. They're looking for their country's success, their family's success, and also looking for their own faith to have success in, within the country. So I think that's one thing that the Chinese Christian experience, being very heavily, in fact, entirely directed by Chinese leaders, is that it is part of the fabric of Chinese society and contributing ideas, contributing people with a work ethic. And I would say, you know, that's something common to many in Chinese, just not only Christians, because there's this Confucian work ethic that is very common to many people. So I think Christianity is I won't say fitting hand in glove with a sort of a Chinese model, but many Chinese see it that way. They see Christianity as a modern thing, as a way of thinking that takes them from where they've been to some place that they're going, in their own words.
You mentioned the Confucian work ethic. How would you describe that in detail?
So the Confucian ideas are, you know, that your goal in life is service, to serve the larger goals of the family first, and then the state or the community second. And so it's very much of a service-based model rather than a individualistic model. So many of those same teachings of, you know, caring for your neighbor, loving your neighbors, yourself, are common to Christianity. So those two thought systems dovetail quite nicely.
So what do you see as a future, a possible future for China, given the fact that, and it still is in many places, very sharply restrictive of religious freedom? Christianity seems to be one of those singled out for that kind of restriction. Do you see that just of economic necessity eventually either loosening or disappearing?
Well, I think that first, China is a huge country. It's, you know, the size, its population is the size of North and South America together. So it's hard to predict what all of China will be like, because the different parts of China have different enforcement of regulations and interpretations. So it's not as a monolith as we might think. So I think that certain parts of China have developed faster, and at least in the study, they found that the parts of China that have developed the fastest have been where there have been large Christian populations. So it may be something that the government itself will be looking at. You know, what is this connection between faith communities and, you know, economic development? And that's not necessarily a strong argument for why faith is important. But from a pragmatic Chinese point of view, I think it'll be one that they'll be looking at as they consider the future. So the future is very hard to predict. The projections by some sociologists are that the Christian population in China could become the world's largest in several decades if this movement to Christianity continues.
So finally, how would you describe the nexus or the interaction as it is today between kind of the old hardline communists in China, communist influences, and its Christian population?
Well, it's not a solid dividing wall between them, because there are some communists who have become Christians. There are Christians who, joined the Communist Party. So there's been a little bit more liberalization in, at least you could call it, a don't ask, don't tell policy towards religion within the Communist Party. So I think that, these small changes probably will continue, because to crack down and try to remove religion certainly would have consequences that could destabilize the country. So I think the government is looking for stability, and they're looking for religion to play a positive role in China's development. And because of that, I'm optimistic, though realistic, realizing that China is has many challenges ahead on this matter.
Given its size, its diverse population, its just the sheer magnitude of its population, its now key role in the world economy, and its rapid economic growth, do you think, to kind of put it simply, the horse has left the barn in China, that perhaps the future of China will be determined more by its economic growth than by its politics?
I think certainly that's how the Chinese are viewing it, that they've become successful economically, and that's becoming the chief narrative. So, I think there'll be more investigation in what has made this possible, what social and even religious characteristics are contributing to China's success. So, as you say, I think that horse has left the barn.
Dr. Brian Grimm is president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, author of a recent column for First Things titled "What Christianity Contributes to China's Economic Rise." You'll find a link to this article and to the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Grimm, thanks for being our guest.
Good to be with you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time reviewing a sermon on the baptism of Jesus preached by Pastor Peter Bender of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Just about a half hour of sermon review, and then it'll be Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net. I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.